Well, welcome to another Hour of Truth. I'm Paul Muller. I have Philip Walthall here to my right, and James Euster is outstanding in Georgia.
I don't know about the outstanding part.
You're not here, so you're out. You're outstanding somewhere, or sitting. So, what all is on y'all's mind? What sort of truth can you contribute to the hour?
What Steve said, you know. What Robin said.
Was just really impressive.
I think a lot of the service was about faith. And, you know, notwithstanding our own thoughts, I mean, you know, Steve said about Abraham and Sarah conceiving. I mean, in the natural, it seems impossible, but to believe God, all things are possible. And to have the faith that truly just believe God and put off our own understanding. And that's the only place that we can actually, the Lord can move, and then we can also serve the Lord for others' sakes.
Yeah, Steve was talking about that faith actually is a choice to believe and an active attack on unbelief.
Yeah, like verse 24 in Romans 4, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. It all starts with believing, with faith.
You know, everything sort of flows out from that. Go ahead.
No, I mean, if we don't have faith, that's the starting point. So without it, we can't serve God. It's the beginning point. It's to believe God.
As Scripture says, but without faith it is impossible to please God.
Amen.
Well, in that case, it's kind of a helpful thing to know that requires a choice on your part. Because otherwise, you're just flailing around trying to figure out what faith looks like. And although Hebrews 11 is actually a narrative of what faith looks like, you know, even when it didn't look so spiffy for some of those people that are named, in the end, they're examples to us.
And it strikes me about that, it's not just for those in Hebrews 11, it's to all that will believe,
right? Great.
Hey, I mean, and God's not a respecter of persons,
right?
You that means any of us that choose to believe God can walk and not be staggered at the promise of God, but walk in what He is able to do and what He has done. And that means anybody can do that, make that choice to believe. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah,
I remember Steve
for us.
Oh, amen, absolutely. You know, Steve's talking about Rahab the harlot, but you know, as he's going through that, I mean, what a great testimony. Rahab the harlot. And then she believes God, gets married. And it was down through her, you know, and the Lord, the gospel working in her life. And wasn't she one of the heirs of the that line through which Christ was born? So, I mean, that's an amazing thing. I mean, that's a praise the Lord. And so you're talking about how much more, I mean, it goes to show you that the Lord can work in anybody's life.
Well, as you said, you constantly see, you know, God aligning himself with people that are in the flesh are just awful people. Murderers, thieves, and extortioners, all kinds of riffraff.
We look around and look at each other.
Yeah.
I mean, look at your upbringing and what the Lord has done. You just take a look at just you and I's relationship, and if everybody knew from history on past down, from the time we're growing up, oh my gosh, the two people that probably wouldn't have anything to do with each other was after I had grown up and got out of the house would be Paul and I. I don't want things that, but here, this is amazing what the Lord has done, how He, through that, He was to turn that around. I mean, it's like He uses the base things of the world to confound the wise, as the scripture says. It reminds me of.
Nothing baser than these two.
Maybe, right. But it's just, He uses those things to show what He is able to do. Over and over and over again, what He was able to do with Abraham, what He was able to do with people around you, what He was able to do with you, James, and your family, and others online. I mean, it's right there. Yet we need to choose yet again, because you know, as I go forward and as I continue to walk. You know, I hit those brick walls of unbelief. I hit those brick walls of that same issue arising again in my life. I hit those, yet over and over again. So what am I going to do? Yet choose to believe the gospel again. Be freed from those things. Pass through those things.
Right.
Grows.
The Lord continually proves Himself to be faithful.
Amen. Absolutely. Absolutely. Which, you know, after four, you enter into five of Romans. When you enter into five of Romans, it talks about the tribulation work as patience. Because it's building that faith in Jesus Christ and what He's able to do.
It starts... If you're gonna do that, you need to say it right.
Okay. So I'm right here, and at the place, didn't know that's. I just came to mind as I was.
Does verse 3 say?
And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulations work the patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us.
In other words, we choose to be thankful, which we glory in tribulation. You know, that's not exactly the way most people feel about tribulation.
No, I know that's not how I feel about tribulation. However, I don't have to stay feeling like that about tribulation. You know what I mean? I don't have to stay to when tribulation hits. I let the doubt and unbelief rule me. You know, I have a choice to glory in that,
I'm just
as Paul does.
All
you know,
I'm talking about is our attitudes are.
Not the same.
Not the same as Paul's.
Right.
You know, we kind of fancy ourselves as being able to do some of the things Paul did, but, you know, if your heart's not right, your attitude's wrong.
Right. Look at Paul, you know, went through, I mean, you know, Paul and Silas is a good one where they cast in the uttermost part of the prisons and they're singing praises unto God singing praises unto God. You know, the the doors of the prison there open up, and the guy that the whole reason why the vision was for him to go to Macedonia was that guy to minister to, and he was the keeper of the prison, and he ministered to, and the guy accepted Jesus Christ. But that was him glorying in tribulation. In times past, in fact, I struggle with that. I know I've struggled with that, is glorying in tribulations. And then, you know, things turn around and it's praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But that's one of those things that I want to lift up to the Lord. That's one of those things I want to get through to, is to be able to not stay in that place of doubt and unbelief when tribulation comes, but have hope in Jesus Christ and what He's able to do. Because that doesn't have to stay with me. That's one of the issues I struggle with. I can be freed from that. Amen.
One thing, you know, in Psalm 48, verse 2, it says, beautiful for situation.
Amen.
No matter what's going on, you know, the Lord is, He has a way for it, whatever our situation is. He has an answer. He has a way out. And to remember that, and to put our faith in Him regardless of how it looks.
Amen.
Just in tribulation, it doesn't look really fun. It's nothing we're going to enjoy, but if we keep our eyes on the Lord and trust in His ability.
Amen. You know, I'm going to read that verse one more time, because, you know, in hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. And I remember I was looking, we were doing the Hour of Truth, and I think it was Robin here at one time, and it was something on there that said redemption. And I remember seeing the word redemption, and I smiled in my heart, because I remember at that time was a kind of a tough time for me. But when I seen redemption, I went back to the place where the Lord had redeemed this situation in my life, where the Lord has redeemed that situation in my life, where the Lord has redeemed this situation in my heart life. And at that time, when I seen that word redemption, you know, and how He's able to redeem, it was what we were talking about, that there was, it didn't matter. It didn't matter. That situation didn't matter anymore, because I know what He's able to do and what He has done. We need to have that same kind of hope all the time through it all. I don't have it all the time through it all.
Right.
I want it.
Well, you know, this is a
so
very,
I better fight for it.
This is a very, very similar passage to James 1. What does James 1 say? It says, the trying of your faith. Let's go there. Let patience have a perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. The trying of your faith, the verse before that, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. What is the difference between the trying of your faith and this tribulation here? This tribulation says it's going to expose you as either somebody who can choose to believe in the face of the unbelievable, or as it's going to expose you as a pretender. But the good news is, by choosing to believe, you can actually gain access and have your faith built and strengthened and that patience is actually a reliance and a trustworthiness that you realize the Lord has. He always shows up. He always shows up. Cry out, see one time, He doesn't show up. He's good. and faithful. And Timothy, you know, Paul says, you know, I know in whom I believed, and I am certain that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. And that's how Paul learned that. That's how Paul learned that. It's how, you know, all these, you know, men of faith became, and I'm talking about not the ones we esteem, I'm talking about the ones Hebrews listed.
Yeah.
People of faith, how they became people of faith. They too, in some measure, you know, gloried in what was an opportunity to learn how to believe God.
You know, you said something about how the tribulation, how that tribulation exposes you where you're at. You know, necessarily. And it gives you opportunity yet to believe God and strengthen your faith in Him. You know, there'll be a day where I'm exposed as believing God, and there's days where I'm exposed not believing God. However, it's coming back to choosing to believe God. You know, what do you think grace is there for? And to take and grab our hands around that gospel and not let it go, no, at all cost. You know, and kind of like, you know, Steve's taking every thought to the obedience of Christ. I'm probably messing up the scripture, but
just casting down that unbelief.
Absolutely, at all costs. I mean, we have that scripture until, you know, those that endure unto the end shall be saved. You know, we have that scripture where it says, "In it what becometh unfruitful." That means it was fruitful at a time, then it became unfruitful. You know, and it's a continuation of building that faith and continuing to put off the unbelief and continuing to face and continuing to choose to believe God at all cost. And we can grab a hold on that and we have that opportunity to have that mustard seed-like faith built in us if we continue on in that. And that's a choice, and that's a continuing choice.
There, you know, there is a concept of I'm trying to think of a way to put it. When you learn, when patience has a perfect work, as James is talking about there, and you've learned, you've seen the trustworthiness and the reliability of God's faithfulness to you, then the ability to choose faith is made easier because it's not blind choice anymore. It's blind based on a relationship.
You get that. Yeah, you get that experience that he shows up and that you can have, you can believe him. You can choose to trust him.
That's a hope.
Yep.
You know, and...
And, you know, remember what Robin said, you know, what she said.
It doesn't disappoint.
Does. What's that? I apologize.
Hope that doesn't disappoint.
Right. Well, I was talking about, she was talking about from faith to faith, you know, step by step. You know, you start out you start out believing God for small things. When bigger things come up, where you yet can choose to believe God in the face of those things. And then bigger things come up, but yet you can choose to believe God in those things. Yet again, kind of like, you know, you take me, take you, you know, that testimony where you shared, Paul, about how your suggestion you was to become pastor of the church here and the South Carolina ministry, and you know, to quit Walmart and do that, and you're, that was a step in a faith for you. Probably wouldn't have you know, perceived of doing that, you know, 5 years before that. Been like, oh no, man, no way, you know. The same as for me, you know, where I'm at and what the Lord has me do right now, you know, 5 years ago, be like, no way, not happening. But by the Lord showing up for you, and yet you choosing to believe, and He shows up, and yet you choosing to believe, and yet He shows up, got to a place where that's a big choice, and that was something you could do because of His, what He is able to do and what He has done.
Yeah, that's right. And when I think about it, it still scares me.
Yeah, well, I hear you.
But, you know, I'm sitting there thinking to myself, I don't know if anybody got anything at all. It just seemed, everything that I was talking about seemed like it was just a mishmash of unrelated subjects. But the one thing that really disappointed me was, you know, the payoff that the last two verses of the passage in 1 Peter 5, I didn't ever get there. And that was a shame, because that's part of the complete message.
Tell you, I'm really glad that Steve went over to Romans 4. You said, you know, and the payoff of the message, I'm thinking, yeah, I'm really glad that Steve went over Romans 4. I was like, much better.
You know, and then praise this God. This is again about something you choose to do, because, you know, you don't really want somebody else to choose the method or time and place of you being humiliated. It's much better to choose to humble yourself. 1 Peter 5:6, humble yourself therefore under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. And, you know, let worry about who's what in the field of strokings or accolades or whatever sort of exaltation would be, position or place. Let the Lord worry about that. You choose to humble yourself, and this is, you know, all of this relates a little bit to James 4. As a second witness, you know, and the payoff for all that, when you just trust the Lord, you walk humbly before Him without presumption, choosing a position of faith, cast all your care on Him because He cares for you. This isn't a mean old man in the sky who's trying to devise different ways of pinning you in the law and then beating you mercilessly. This is a father who loves his children and wants them to know Him. And there's the payoff at the end of this is you get to know him. That was what made the difference for Paul. That I may know him. And the fellowship of his sufferings and the power of his resurrection, which I probably screwed up the order. And, there is the payoff. If you seek him, he will be found of you. And if you don't understand how to believe that, if you don't have total clarity, believe it anyway and watch him meet you. Choose to believe him anyway. Choose to cast off unbelief and let him meet you.
Amen. You know, that it was interesting talking to Lisa yesterday. She was talking about how she was talking with Robin and how the Lord doesn't begrudge you in your struggle. You know, the Lord's not mad at you in your struggle, that was an interesting thing because I was kind of talking about Thursday, really scheduled short, and I'm very overwhelmed and had really no other manager scheduled there except me, and very very stressed out, very very overwhelmed, stressed out, fearful, and you know, I get like that, I get mad, and you know. Lifting those things up to the Lord and what ended up happening. I mean, the Lord seen, you know, it's like Father seeing his son and help, you know, I mean, help me, Lord, you know, and seeing it's like a father seeing his son in trouble and he comes and he goes and he helps him, and the Lord, you know, intervened mightily and help came over, and one of the best days we had, you know, 141 tires, and the rest of the day went very smoothly. It was just handed to us on a silver platter. You know, I mean, look, praise God, he doesn't begrudge you in that struggle. You know, I cried out, help, the Lord came and he helped. He intervened and he's a loving father.
I think
I'm glad he did that, man. I'm glad. Praise God, I needed it. And it was definitely intervention. You could see the hand of God just turn that whole thing around from where it started. Go ahead, you were about to say something.
I apologize for interrupting you, Phil.
No, go right ahead, brother.
The key to that, you know, you said that you lifted it up to the Lord. And it's easy for us to lift it up to the Lord. It's harder than to believe Him that it's going to come to pass. That's the deciding thing. Do we believe what we just asked for? Do we believe that He is able and wants to accomplish it? Or are we going to lift it up to Him and then still stand in unbelief?
And that's going right back to believing, not being staggered at the promises of God, but believing Him, and actually believing it.
It's easy for us to ask, but you know, it's that receiving, and we receive it by believing Him.
Amen. Amen. You know, and some of the other things is, you know, if we don't receive it, the other thing that, you know, I go to is kind of going to in James, where you have not because you ask not, but you ask and receive not because you ask amiss. Okay, why am I praying for this thing? Why am I asking for this thing? Is it to glorify God and benefit what He has me to put my hands to? Or is it to for my own glorification? Or is it to consume upon my own lust? Or, you know, where is my heart in the midst of it? That would be the next thing I ask myself if it didn't come. Or did I just simply not enter in because of unbelief.
It's our intentions.
Right.
Well, the example of not entering because of unbelief that you should get in Hebrews, that's the children of Israel in the desert. And they didn't enter in spite of the continuing testimony of the Lord's provision, of His power and His presence. They looked at it for 40 years, and they yet preferred Egypt, the bondage of Egypt, to the things of the Lord. And you're going to say something?
No, go ahead.
We're really not all that different. But that's the best example we have, perhaps the most famous example of unbelief in the Bible. But that's the ugliness, the sheer ugliness of that is what we're put off. Beat down, stomp all over it. Because it kept them from entering. They died in the desert in unbelief. That's not a testimony of overcoming. That's a testimony of never entering in. That's awful. I wouldn't wish that on anybody. No. Anything?
And that's where you choose yet to believe.
Well, you know, it's like so much of what we've been dealing with testimony in those who have been preaching or teaching or whatnot. It is the fight to stay connected to that promise, the fight to fight against, the struggle against unbelief, to take it to the enemy in preemptive strikes in spiritual warfare. You, in order to be able to see what's going on, you need spiritual eyes, spiritual ears. You need spiritual senses that are working. And some people, you know, can be in a just a bash down and never realize it until they're done, until it's over with, and then they're laying around all bloody and all. This happened. Especially if their mind's not sound. You know, and there's another thing. Are you gonna struggle to believe the testimony of Paul in Timothy that God hadn't given a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind? If you believe that, then you should always be operating in power and with a sound mind, and the love being manifested that He's given you for others. That should be how your life looks if you actually believe that.
Amen. And you know the exhortation. I mean, did you hear Robin this morning talking about we don't look like a people that believe the gospel?
Yeah. That's true.
You know, and I look directly in my own life and my own heart, and I see areas where, look, if I believe the gospel, truly believe the gospel in every aspect of my life, it would look differently. It would look differently. But yet I know I yet struggle with believing the gospel in every aspect of my life and at every turn and everything
it is so true.
And it's an exhortation to yet believe yet again in those areas.
That it's really easy to see, you know, ineptitude, struggles with unbelief, and to, you know, receive this idea that God can be disappointed in you. But He knows what you. He knows who you are, man. He knows what you are. He knows.
He knows what the struggle is.
He can be pleased, but he's not. He's not disappointed.
Amen.
He can be pleased when you get it.
Amen.
But so many people get hung up, frozen by fear of disappointment. And, you know, if that's you, man, dispatch that notice immediately. And know that He isn't disappointed in you. He knew what you were going in. When you get it, He's pleased with you, but there's no, the disappointment, that's not there. And, what do you think about that, James?
I think you're absolutely right, Paul. You know, if we look at Paul when he went to Jerusalem, even though the Lord had told him not to, the Lord didn't leave Paul. And you saw where the Lord was able to redeem Paul's disobedience. Had Paul not went, the men on the ship would not have been given the gospel.
Amen. Well, you look what happened when you know, he wrote some of those letters while he was in the prison there, which are the epistles which we study now, and wrote most of the New Testament. You know, the Lord is very much redeeming of that. And you can
It'd be tough to sell too many people, you know, as he went from calamity to calamity to calamity to calamity, that the Lord was in any of that. You know, shipwreck and snake bit. But it was an opportunity for the Lord to show forth His power and for Him to exercise His faith and trust in the Lord.
Amen. And I was about to say, but what greatest opportunity is that when things go upside down, when the Lord turns around? I mean, isn't that testimony of our life? I mean, and that's the Lord showing yet His power in His mercy and His grace and His love.
And
so that, and for others to see, the others to see that, you know, look at work, old people used to know me when I was shooting up dope all the time. They see me now. That's just what it's open before everybody what the Lord's able to do, you know, and see where Paul was at, and the things that happened. And you see now, and see, it's open for everybody what the Lord's able to do. Same with you, James, and people online. And it's an amazing thing.
What are you going to say there, James?
I was going to say the same thing Phil ended with, that it's a, you know, it becomes an opportunity and a testimony for others to see.
Yeah, you take, you know, it's just kind of funny. It's Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, because you go back all the way to, you go back all the way to where he was, he delivered the children of Israel out of the hand of Egypt. I mean, they're in bondage to Egypt. I mean, they were slaves, and he turned that around and made them a powerful nation.
Oh, and incidentally crushed the Egyptians on the way.
Yeah, and, you know, by his hand, by his power, and it was just, that's another sign of the Lord showing his love and compassion and his might to all the other nations. And who he was, so. That wasn't a pretty situation, being in bondage and slave to a bunch of people. But he yet turned that around.
And Joshua, you just take the army of Israel around the wall there, and you just shout.
And shout, yeah.
Yeah. Amen. Okay. You know.
So, you know, it's kind of, why, you know, why would we not want to believe? That is the most awesome thing, you know. If he's able to do that, yet we yet struggle with unbelief. Yeah. And yet we need to bring these things back to our mind. We need to look at the testimonies of the Lord, what he's able, what he has done, what he's able to do, not just in scripture wise, but also in our own lives.
I learned a long time ago, it's not only unprofitable, it's also unwise to get this. We've been over this before. Just do something else. Attitude, because I need to remind myself the stuff that I think I know. Because if I knew it all that well, this would look a whole lot different. You know.
Exactly. That's why I had
copping attitude, because we just went over this a couple weeks ago. No, let's go over it again. I know better than that now. Let's go over it again.
Yeah, we need it. We need that reminder. So, I mean, how quickly, I mean, yet, you know, kind of going back to children of Israel, I mean, how quickly did they see the power? I mean, and we've seen it over and over again when they were wandering in the desert. And we could be no different at times. Yet, they seen them delivered. You know, I mean, the Israelites seen the hand of God deliver them out of the hand of Egypt and destroy them. And then yet, now they're in the desert. We brought out here to, for us to die. Yet, forgot all that stuff. I don't even think that was on their mind, what the Lord had done. And how many times when we get caught up in our situation, or, you know, whatever the thing you may be struggling with, or whatever the thing I may be struggling with at that time, and then all those things are just all of a sudden out of our mind, just forgotten.
Once again,
you know,
it becomes all about me. Yeah, I'm not satisfied with this place.
And that's all we can see, you know, that's all we can see. I mean, it happens so easily, you know, and it kind of reminds me of Hebrews. It's this sin that what so easily besets us, and sin is unbelief, you know.
Oh, yeah, man. The one that's always with you is pride. The one that sneaks up on you and whacks you on the back of the head is unbelief.
but it so easily happens. That's why it's good to remind him. Good reminding.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
You know, as Paul say, you know, he goes, for me, indeed, it's necessary, but and it's not grievous, you know. I'm messing
for you, it's safe.
Yeah, for you, it's safe. And for me, it's not grievous. You know? And, I need it as much as I can get it.
So what else we got on our minds here? Anything?
A song?
Well, that was kind of a neat thing out of Psalm 51, that blood guiltiness thing.
Amen.
Because he was guilty of spilling innocent blood. he wasn't interested in having the charges dropped. He was interested in having the Lord.
Being that, being held accountable to him by the Lord.
By the Lord. Yeah.
I mean, the consequence was of no effect. He didn't care what the consequence by law was.
Right.
You know, he just wanted to be right. Lord, I remember. Well,
even if the result was the death penalty, which is what he still didn't want to be held accountable by the Lord. I mean, he still needed the Lord to forgive him for that.
Amen. But what did the Lord in His grace do? Have made him king again. And told David to stand in that.
Yeah.
Being king again. And still be king. I mean, you kind of remind me of, I remember.
And, you know, there's, I guess in the way I stated that is really doesn't, not do the impact right. He didn't care about the law's judgment. He cared what God thought of it. And if by the law he was a blood guilty, that's one thing. But he had a relationship with the one who could remove the blood guiltiness. And he was more concerned with what the Lord thought of him than what the law judged him for.
Remember, he said, you know, cast me not away from thy holy presence, O Lord. I remember showing up for work here a couple years ago, a year ago. I don't know, not showing, no call, no show. And I remember talking to Steve and told him what I did. And, you know, and I was scared to talk to him. I think I should talk to James beforehand. And I was scared to talk to Steve. And I screwed up royally and on some fronts and screwed up royally many times. But this is just one of those examples of screwing up. And I remember Steve going, you know, Phil, you're not cast off, and the Lord's not done with you. And I was just thinking, well. Praise God. Yeah, well, I had to believe that.
Yeah.
And I, you know, praise God. Yeah. And the consequence was, man, I was took into another store, made a lot less money and all. I mean, was rent down to where I was, the lowest on the totem pole. And, you know, but that was okay with me. That was fine. And the Lord, the Lord wasn't done. Right. That was the comforting thing in that.
As whether not even not just that it wasn't done with you, but that same testimony from maybe come from men was he's not disappointed in you.
Yeah,
you're a screw up. You knew that going in.
Yeah. Same with the. My family and how that came about, man. Comforting thing was, the Lord's not done with you. And praise God, not only did He forgive me, but He turned that situation upside down that glorified Him once again.
Right. You know.
Same with you.
The glory and tribulations, Romans 5:3, knowing that tribulation works with patience, and patience experience hope, and hope this based on that sequence occurring. That's when that sequence occurs like that. That hope doesn't disappoint you. It doesn't leave you standing there. With your hands in your pocket, going, oh man. I guess this is a no show again. But this is going to stink to be me. No, that's not where he leaves you. And the, you know, the proof of that is, I mean, it's the love of God being shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given us. That's a good thing. I mean, that's really a good thing. But is this testimony that when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. We, I don't know about you, but I find that I'm in a recurring position of without strength. And I know without, you know, getting, you know, afoul of God's word, I know I am yet ungodly. That's why I know I need his righteousness. But his goodness is that he is that the ones that are sick, that are neat, that they're the ones that need the physician. When Jesus was, you know, talking to the Pharisees, he said, y'all aren't sick. Y'all don't need me. So
truth is what they were. They just couldn't recognize it.
Right. We needed his intervention.
A savior.
We needed a savior that while we were yet sinners, he died for us. While we're yet ungodly, without really a whole lot of interest in becoming godly or changing or seeing the need for changing our demeanor and our behavior or our attitudes. Well, this is how good this is. This is the goodness of the gospel.
Amen.
The gospel is for those who will receive it, that need it. Now, everybody needs it, but only those who will receive it get it. So that
come to the place to realize
you
they
can
need
get
it.
You can get it.
You know, it's funny. It's like without you talking about you're just saying that what looking to become godly. I mean, when you look at Steve when he went to go down to meet Davey, he was not looking to become godly. He was looking to save his sister from the blood sucking cult.
Well,
you know, and he came across.
Remember what Davey's testimony is? How you first got started? He was going to go punch out a pitcher.
Exactly.
I mean, come on.
Exactly.
I mean, Lord, great. He turns everything on its ear.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. You know, question is, we're going to believe it for ourselves that we can go up and stand in the place of Him in those times and be the one introducing Jesus to a Davy, a Jesus to a Steve, a Jesus to a Philip, a Jesus to a James, to a Paul, do you know? You know, I mean that, but we yet ourselves start with believing it ourselves first. And then we believe it ourselves. We go and we're just gonna be doing that which is the Lord would have us do. Because we're gonna be walking in the belief of what He's done.
What do you say we wrap? I think that's a pretty good place to wrap. You got anything to say in closing there, James?
No, Paul.
Then say goodbye.
Goodbye.
And of course, you've been doing a lot of talking here, so I guess you're done too, right?
Yes, sir.
Then say goodbye.
Goodbye, everyone.
Y'all have a great afternoon and a good week. And may the Lord bless you. And we'll come back next week, Lord willing, with another Hour of Truth.